Hello, good evening. You may remember last week we were talking about death to life rather than life to death. Do you remember that? You don't? You do remember. Excellent. So that theme, because we're looking at different perspectives, aren't we, in relation to death and dying. So we're carrying on that theme this week in a slightly different way, although the basic theme of, you know, what is death to life is what the first half of this evening will be about. And as you know, we have this Makabele ceremony, which takes place once a month. And the essence of that is, well, James D'Angelo, who's going to be speaking to you in a second, will tell you about that. But the essence of it is, what does it mean to die in order to live? What does that really mean? All right? So the ceremony is a most beautiful and wonderful way of digging into the depth of that question. And it symbolizes in all sorts of wonderful ways a progressive stages of understanding towards really dying, and then what arises from that death. So I won't go into the symbolism now, but I just wanted to read you something before Jim takes over. I don't know if you remember, a few weeks ago I read to you something from an article, which I think was in the Telegraph magazine, about a neurosurgeon called Paul Kalanithi. Do you remember I mentioned something about this? He was diagnosed with terminal cancer at just 36, a very brilliant man. And he wrote an extraordinary memoir of his illness and thoughts on approaching death. And this was the quote that I mentioned. I'd just like to repeat it, because I think it might have some relevance to what we're about tonight. So this is quotes from him. He says, "Everyone succumbs to finitude. He writes, "His cancer metastasizing in his lungs. Most ambitions are either achieved or abandoned. Either way, they belong to the past. The future, instead of the ladder toward the goals of life, flattens out into a perpetual present. Money, status, all the vanities the preacher of Ecclesiastes described, hold so little interest. A chasing after wind, indeed." So the idea is to stop chasing after wind. So I'm going to introduce James D'Angelo, who's this handsome gentleman here. He's been a member of the society since, 1984. He's been a turner. He's done many wonderful things here. He's a fine, fine musician and composer. And I couldn't really put you in better hands. He's been a turner for how many years?
You ready? 1968.
So he knows a little bit about the ceremony. And I'm very happy also to introduce Machi here, who will be helping him tonight. So thank you, Machi, for coming. So I'll leave you in his good hands, and you've got some notes as well, which hopefully will help. Thank you. Thanks, James.
Thank you. Good evening to you all. We are here, as Philip said, to explore the ceremony of the Mevlevi Order of Dervishes. It's called Makabele, which means coming face to face, and that we will explain later. And of course, it is going to be in relation to death and dying. Now, it's come down to us that Rumi, the founder of the Mevlevi Order, Mevlana, the master, spontaneously did a whirling movement, throwing his arms up into the air, because he was in ecstasy. He was in ecstasy. And his followers took that up. His followers took it up. And gradually, they formalized the ceremony that we now are calling, and they called, the Makabele. Now, let's have a brief history of this. Members of this society went out to Turkey. They had a contact. And they knew that this ceremony would get people out of their heads and into their hearts. And they asked the sheikh there, would you teach us the ceremony? And he agreed. And why did he particularly agree? Is that by this time in Turkey, this ceremony was mainly for showing to tourists. It was cultural. It had nothing to do with spiritual life. It was just wonderful to see this dancing movement. But more extraordinary was the fact that he agreed to teach women, because this is something done there only by men. So that was a great step forward that he agreed and he came. This was in 1963. It's been, therefore, in this house for 52 years, and it's never left this house in those 52 years. So we're going to explore. We're going to explore the garments, the actions, the objects in the ceremony. Its overall meaning, and this is what Philip was referring to, is about death and rebirth, an awakening, being dead, but not physically dead, obviously. Death in the sense that they believe that they are a separate self. They've been separated from God, from Allah, from the Absolute. They're living in ignorance now, and that is their death. And the object of the ceremony is to come into life and to be awakened, to wake up that that's not the case, that really there is a union there with the Absolute. It's wonderful because the Makabli ceremony could be a model for our life. It really could, because it's a meditation in movement. Wouldn't that be wonderful to think that every moment of your life you are actually in meditation? You're surrendering all the time. So it is, for me, a model for how we could live our life in being that ceremony. So the first thing we're going to look at is the garments that a turner wears in the ceremony, because they already are significant. Ashi, would you stand up and come a little bit more to the center? Okay. So this is how a turner enters this space for the ceremony. He's covered in a black cloak. The black cloak is his grave. It's his tomb. And then we see the tall hat. It's also very practical for turning, but it all symbolizes a tombstone. So two symbols of death here, the cloak and the tall hat. But he also has on what we might call a burial shroud. The real person underneath this all. Could you just open up for a moment? And there it is. This long robe. It's called a tenure, a burial shroud. So those are the garments that a turner comes into. Everything we do in this ceremony is shown respect, humility, and gratitude, essential virtues. So anytime a turner would take off a garment or put on a garment, he or she kisses it. We kiss the garments, we kiss the floor, we kiss the sheikh's hand. Gratitude, 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 because all these objects are for that purpose of waking up. Now there's a lot of bowing in the ceremony, and I want to draw your attention to one particular bow. Just could you move to the right, please? Okay. This is the bow that is made when a turner first enters the space. This is, I'll say more about this space a little later. It's that this, I'm calling the a sacred point. when this vow is made. Really significant. That vow is asking, please chop off my head. Please chop off my head. Why? Because in chopping off the head, we start to get away a little bit from the death and the living in ignorance. This is the problem up here. The thinking process. We do not need to think in a macabre. Get rid of it. This is a ceremony that's directed into the heart. So off with the head, finished. Okay. Now, when the turner bows, something else happens. Would you come forward again? I'll lift his skirts up a little bit if you haven't got a closer look. You will see, if you can, that the 2 feet are sealed together. Yeah, there we are. If you can't, just stand up. Okay? So when, most of the time when we're not in motion, we should be in that sealed position. Why? It's saying something very profound. I have no power of my own. I give over my power to the source of my power. And I'm going to show you that. I can't do anything. I've sealed my toes. I'm not the doer of this ceremony. So that's a really significant point to raise here. Okay, thanks. Let's come and look at the space in which we turn, which is this very studio in which you are tonight. The whole space, the place for the dervishes, is called a teke, T-E-K-K-E, a teke. The actual circularity here is known as the semahen, the place of the listeners. Aha. So who are these listeners? And we are going to come to that. What does that mean, the place of the listeners? The Sheikh has entered the space and gone to that point. I'm calling it, we can have many names there. I put Absolute, I've put God, and I've put the Sheikh. He is the representative of the source of all. And whenever the turners traverse this circle, they're going in an anti-clockwise movement. Aha. Anti-clockwise. Let us get out of time. Let's go against time. Anti-clockwise. Not with the clock, but against the clock. And the symbolism here is that the Absolute manifests, makes creation from the one to the many. And then at that critical point here, as we return to the source of all, and it goes on and on. Creation back to the source, creation back to the source. This is a sacred line here. Turners make little bows when they go across because they're coming down from the radiation of the Sheikh. Later on, you will see, if you just look slightly past this, that position that the Sheikh takes is on a red sheepskin that I put out over there. This is the fire of the Absolute, dyed red, the fire of the Absolute there. Okay. Would you stand again, Mashi? Now we come to the thing about listening, the sema, to listen. When a turner comes into this space and walks to a place on a carpet, which would be over there. He assumes a tilted head position. Show them, yeah, okay. Great. Tilted head position. Excellent. I won't break your neck, don't worry. Right. So, what is does this have meaning? Yes, it does have meaning. It means that the eyes now, in that tilted position, can look into the heart. And also, this right ear is cocked, and it can listen to the heart. And there you have it. A listener of the heart. Turners are listening to their heart. They're looking into their heart. Their head has been chopped off, so that doesn't come into it anymore. So that is whenever a turner is in a walking position or a standing position, look into the heart. Remember that. Okay. Thank you. Good. Here we have a significant musical instrument of the Middle East, which is used very much to bring the turners to their real self, to their contemplative self. It's simple as can be. It's the bamboo pipe. It's lifeless, has no life. It's dead in a sense right now. How is it going to come from death to life? It's going to come, the death to life, by the breath of the musician blowing down through the hole. And it has to be just right or no sound comes. It's not an easy instrument to play. And I'm not going to attempt to play it, but we are going to hear it shortly. And that symbolizes ourselves. What animates us? The breath of God. You know? It blows into us, and we become alive. So it's a wonderful, wonderful instrument, and its symbolism as well. And as I say, you'll hear it soon. The turners now are kneeling down, and they're in this preparatory state as they're moving from death into life. It's gaining momentum. And they're listening to this as well as a hymn at first, and then they're listening to this instrument being played. And then suddenly, boom, rhythmic music begins. And that is a signal that says what this ceremony is truly all about. We've been taught this in the training. It means wake up and be. And as soon as possible, that first beat, the turners slap the floor and stand up. It's a very thrilling moment, actually. Wake up and be. So, what we're going to do now is Mashi and I will kneel down. Let's pull this back a bit here. And let's listen to the ney playing. And then we will, when we hear the rhythmic beat, do the slapping of the floor. And we, of course, as we go down, you notice that we are kissing the floor. Up and be moment, that slapping against the floor and standing up, and we're ready now to go into movement in the second stage. We're getting closer to our rebirth. We're leaving that ignorant self behind, stage by stage by stage. In a sense, there are seven steps of a ladder here. And the first three steps of that seven-step ladder is called the processing. And we're going to see that in a few minutes. It's a very slow, faltering walk. And its meaning is as follows. It's all about how do human beings gain knowledge in life. And the first time that we walk the circle, again, same way, has to do with just simply learning to read from books. That's it. Reading books will give us all we need at that stage. And then we circumambulate again, and now we're gaining knowledge by seeing. By seeing the place or the object or whatever that is. And then we walk a third time round, and this is now living in the reality of that knowledge, having first-hand deep experience. A simple analogy is as follows. You can read books about London, telling you various things about. You can then go and visit London for a few days and see some of the sights. But to really know London is to come here and live in London, to take up residence. So those are the three things that are being expressed in these three walkabouts. But it's in the walkabouts, or the processing, that this word Makabale comes to life. As I said at the beginning, it means coming face to face. And in that processing, three times, as we come around, we stop and we look at the turner behind us. We face them. Look into the turner's eyes and see the real living self of that person beyond all personality. Deeply into them, into that. And we make a bow to them, to respect. We are bowing not to the person, but what lives in that person. That's what has to be remembered. It's not personal. It's impersonal. So now, Marshy and I think I'll put my little robes on here for this, are going to show you this processing movement and the coming face-to-face, Mukabale. Okay.
I don't know if you could see the footwork, as it were, of this moment, but it too can be given this meaning. Movement, stillness. Movement, stillness. Movement, stillness. It's a symbol again for how we could be in our own life. Have those moments of stopping, then take up the next activity. Stop, take up the next activity. So it's a wonderful feeling if you learn how to do that walk. The movement, the stillness, the movement and the stillness going on and on and on. So all of that has been a preparatory process. This is the moment where the rebirth is tremendously gaining momentum. We're almost there in complete union with the Absolute. Because at this point, the turners are going to throw off these black cloaks, and all you're going to see is their pure ego, not the impure one, that pureness, the whiteness. It's a very remarkable moment, and you should come at some point and see the ceremony. Because with all those turners throwing off the black cloaks, you see this blaze of white after all that black. It's really, really feels an awakening moment. So, Marcia, would you stand again? Thank you very much. We're not going to hear the music for this at this point. There would be a little more of the instrument of the nay, and then new rhythmic music appears. And at that point, the turners hear it, and off come the cloaks. All right. You noticed he kissed the robe before he dropped it to the floor. Very important. Now look at the position he has here, ready to turn. The arms are locked. The hands on the shoulders. The feet are sealed. Once again, that is telling us, I have no power of my own. I'm surrendering that to the higher in me. I'm surrendering it over. And so that is the gesture of being locked in the arms, being locked into the toes. And now the turner is about to go through four periods of turning, of actual full-blown whirling, moving around the circle of the semihen in anti-clockwise motion. A turner also does the movement in anti-clockwise. But here, the meaning is, the heart is left of center. I'm following my heart. As I'm just doing that, even doing a slow turn, tilted head, I'm following my heart. So that is the reason why we're turning that way and not that way. And we're soon going to see Mashi demonstrate what it is to do the turning. And I just want to say to you, what is the meaning of each period of this turning? We can't do a whole four periods of turning. They're known as salams. You're going to see one period of turning, the fourth period. Okay. But now you can see how the Sufi dervish is moving to the final stage of rebirth, full rebirth. Death is no more. Eternal life begins. The first period of turning, it's interesting, this one, it's just about any organized religion that you can join. You know, you have an interest. All right, so I'll join the Church of England. Ah, so what does the Church of England tell me I should do? Has various rules of conduct. Fine, I follow that. And there's still a duality here, because in this organized religion, God is basically out there and you're here and you worship him in that way. Fair enough. But that's the way the Sufis see it. Now we're into the second period of turning. And the turners are waking up. But there's something more than this organized religion. What is it? What is it? There must be a path on which I can place myself. A path towards this rebirth that I'm longing for. The nay is the instrument of longing. It always sounds like, you know, a certain sadness. It's because of being separate. So in the second period, we have now moved beyond organized religion and we're on a particular spiritual path. Comes the third salam, the longest one of them all. And now, this is the moment. We have to surrender. We have to find it so that we are being turned by something that has nothing to do with our personal power or our be able to control anything. If you can do the movement well, that possibility exists. And the annihilation of the ego is taking place now, because you said, away with that. I don't have to be that. I don't have to be that. So that is profound in itself. Then we come to the last of these periods of turning, and we're going to hear the music for that, and Mashi will do the turning. Two things occur. One, the turners no longer have to go round and round the circle. Why should they? They have found themselves. Right? There's no need to go anywhere anymore. They've come into the place where they were, which they always were anyway. They have really found themselves with a capital S self. So they turn in only one spot, and you'll see that's what Mashi will do. He will just whirl round and round this left leg, a stilled point, that's his support, that left leg, it's called a pillar. Round he goes, the pillar. At the same time in this last period of turning, which you won't see tonight, but you would if you saw the ceremony, is that the Absolute is so moved by all of this that it comes down and joins the turners. It comes into the center of the circle, the Absolute, and does a slow turning movement. And that's so beautiful, because it's now the union is complete. It's there, it's been there, and now he's showing that it is there. So in that fourth salam, the Sheikh representing the Absolute comes to that point. When it's over, the finale of this is to hear that neigh once again, sweet neigh. So let's have that music. Thank you, Martin. And before we do, all right, I want Mashi to show you how we come from this closed position to the position that we assume. All right, would you do it in slow motion for us now? Thank you. No, not the movement, just how you open the arms. Don't move yet. That's it. It's like the opening of a flower. It's a very wonderful gesture, isn't it? Do it again, to close your arms. Of natural ecstasy. If you feel ecstasy, you go, oh, and you throw your arm. Yes. But what's interesting is how it comes up from the solar plexus, and you pull it up like a flower rather than just throwing your arms straight out. All right, hold that position for a moment. Thank you very much. And now we look. We have a right palm facing to the heavens. We're going to draw the energy of the heavens down from above, through the arm, across the chest, through the heart, of course, it's going to go through the heart, through the left arm, down into that hand, palm down, and we are giving back to the earth what we're receiving. And so turners ideally have to have this assumed position of the arms. We're like gyros of energy, really, when we do that. So that's the meaning of holding this position. People ask, don't you get dizzy? Don't you fall over? The answer, of course, is no. Otherwise, there would be no ceremony. But because the turners are looking right here, if they keep focused on that point of the hand, they will be steady. Okay, I've moved the cloak. Thank you. And we'll have some turning music. Thank you. So we've come now to the conclusion of the ceremony. And the Turners are going to listen to a prayer, and they're going to listen to Quran, sung verses of Quran, and a prayer. And as you see, I've wrapped Moshi back into his hirka, as the black cloak is called. But this is no longer a grave as it was in the beginning. Death has been transcended. All that black cloak is now is just an outer garment so that you can go back into the world and meet the world. And Turners are asked to bring that pure energy back to, into the world in service to others. And we exit the Semahain, and that is the Mokabale. So, thank you very much.